kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, everybody. And thank you for everyone who's helping out this morning. Pastor Dana called up, I think it was maybe Thursday, and the telephone line was broken a little bit. They had a terrible storm down south, and they were not able to fly. But what, in between his broken conversation, he says, "Hey, for this Sunday, could we have a time of caring?" And I thought, well, I wasn't sure what that meant. I thought, and then the final phone line went dead. He later texted back. I said, "Hey, Laura, how can we have a time of caring?" And then he texted back and says, "No, a time of sharing." So that's what we're going to do today, is have a time of sharing. And what I'd like to do is just preface that a little bit, but it was our senior pastor's request. So it's a time for our body to administer to one another here this morning. Now, remembering the things of God is so important throughout the history of the Bible. It starts in Genesis, the first word that says, remember. And God did all these things through Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus especially, so the nation of Israel will remember that He is Lord and He is God. There's 240 references to remember throughout the Bible. It starts in Genesis and it goes all the way to Revelation. So remembering really is a core value to who we are as followers of Christ. Now, in the Jewish culture, they had a tendency to forget. And as we read the Old Testament, is when they forgot to remember, what happens is Mr. Complaint comes up. And Israel, as you know, was one of complaining. And then I think one of the main passages is out of Numbers 11, where it's kind of like the chapter on complaints. And when I read this, and part of this is out of my personal study too, as we're kind of starting a new chapter, Lori and I have been thinking back and remembering of all the goodness and the grace that God has bestowed through our whole life. And often we think, well, God gave us an extra bonus on our paycheck while He blessed us. Or God did this, or we made the plane ride, or we found a parking spot. God blessed us. But the truth of the matter is, the blessing, those things are just collateral benefits. But the true blessing that God was telling Israel to always remember was God Himself. That's the blessing. All these other little things that come up are just fun things. But here, the nation of Israel had been enslaved 430 years. They were being oppressed. They were being worked hard. They had no freedom. They were slaves. And then now, they seen the hand of God work mighty deeds, and they were free. They now became a free people. But look what happened. It didn't take too long before they forgot. And in chapter 11 of Numbers, it says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when He heard them, His anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them." Now, here they've been enslaved for 430 years, and God was providing clothes, food, everything they needed, plus He made them a nation, a people. And here's what it says. The rabble with them began to crave other food than the food that God was preparing for them. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite, for we never see anything but this manna." Are we so different today? am I so different? I'm actually preaching to myself. Here today is so many distractions in our lives. We're being bombarded in the news constantly, 24/7, social media, we're never alone. We're constantly gathering information. We have politics. We have viruses. We have vax, no vax, mask, no vax, masks, that it's easy to get sidetracked, that we begin to forget. Now, when my daughter was growing up, we were trying to teach her. She goes through that phase of complaining. We said, baby, of all the gifts in the Bible, complaining isn't one of them. You don't need any special gifts or talents to be an expert in complaining. But I know. And how many times have we heard too, boy, we're living in unprecedented times. We are. But yet all these things, like the nation of Israel, can turn us where we lose focus. And we say, where's the meat? All we get is this manna. Now, in the Jewish culture, there was a life word. It's a word that has an academic meaning, but it's a word that has to be lived, and it's called the Shema. And every morning in Jewish culture, people would rise, and the first thing they would do is verbalize the Shema. At the end of the day, they would verbalize the Shema. And it's taken out of, I have it shortened in my notes, but it's taken out of Deuteronomy 6:4, and it goes like this. Hear, O Israel, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Shema. That's how the Jewish culture started their day, every single day. Now, Shema has a word that means listen, oratory, with your ears. But in the Jewish ancient language, there was never a word, there's not a word that says obey. But the implication of Shema was listen from the fiber of your being and obey. So that's what it meant, Shema. Now, before the Shema, the Jewish people, Hebrew was the Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. Come listen. Come listen to the big love of God. Remember God's big love. It wasn't I love my teddy bear, I love my car, I love my family. It was far more. It was a love that changes every single second of every minute you live. That was the implication of the Shema. And the word for that was the Ahava Rahab in Jewish. And they would say that first and then say the Shema. So what we're going to do is, in the Jewish language, there was no word for God. There was names for God, but they would never say the name of God. Even in Jewish readings and writings, they would print G-O or they put G/D, but it would never be God because it was too holy to come out of human lips. So they had words like Adonai or Hesem. But in the Jewish culture, the way to say God's name was this. You just breathe the breath of God. This is the God that he tells the nation of Israel, remember. Remember who I am. Never forget I brought you out of slavery. As the passage was read this morning, never forget you were once lost in sin. You are now bought with a price and you are free. Remember. So what we're going to do this morning is we are going to have an open mic. This was Pastor Dana's request. And we're going to have some songs from Holly, and we're going to worship in between. But this is an open mic. You can feel free to come up here if you like, or sit where you're at, speak in the microphone, to administer to the body, to proclaim and acclaim our Lord Jesus Christ, who is bigger than governments, bigger than viruses. He's bigger than all. and to proclaim his name of the goodness and greatness, anything that's on your heart.
My parents and a bunch of the bigger families from our church, average size, 6 kids probably, they had something called the Clipper Club. And the best thing about the Clipper Club was when we went camping together. And we all pick a campground someplace and set up our rickety tents and sleeping bags that weren't very comfortable. But the best part of the Clipper Club was every night we had a campfire. And we'd sing around. We'd sit around and sing songs. Do Lord, oh do Lord, and a whole bunch of ones. And it was just so cool that here we were out in a campground. It was dark. There were stars out. There was kids and older folks. And we were all just enjoying being there and singing praises. And you know, it doesn't matter how simple your worship is or who you're with or where you're at. It's just so special to be able to share God's love with other people, to share it as believers. And one thing we miss today is we've got a real shortage of kids and young people, and we've got a real shortage of older people that, for one reason or another, they aren't making it to church. They can't handle the ice or the COVID, or they're not well. And you know what? Maybe we should do something about that. Try to remember to encourage the people we don't see that can't come. Try to remember to encourage the people that used to come with their kids to come back. What's a church without kids? Come on, guys. It's a dead church. So, I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That's one of my passages that just speaks to my heart. And I guess I need a reminder often to simply do that. Simply seek God, because he can be found. He is near, and he came near through Jesus. But so often something gets in the way. We think we're seeking him, but something's in the way, and it might be habits, even if they seem like good habits. Al, you're talking about the Shema and the way the Jews have these religious habits. That can become a rote thing that we stop thinking about. So I guess it struck me recently is just seek God in the most pure way that you can, when just getting some of these religious habits, maybe to become what they're supposed to be, to remind us not to be I did that, therefore I've earned some brownie points and I'm okay, I can go on. But seek the Lord directly. The other thing that gets in the way often is just me, my own desires, ego, whatever it might be. And so we just need to get back to seeking the Lord, realizing that Jesus came. He gave up so much to come down here, because we weren't making that connection. It took him giving his own son, and that should move us to seek God, if nothing else does. And realize it's not about us. If we seek him, he will return to us what we need without us having to try to grab it ourselves. So Seek the Lord.
In remembrance and to express my gratitude to Adonai, our Lord God. In early year of 2000, when we live in Saudi Arabia, we live in a compound, and that day, our compound was attacked by terrorists, and we are surrounded by terrorist attack who bomb, and I would not tell you the details of the attack, but I am very afraid that time, and then I'm by myself at home thinking about my husband at work. They are targeting expats and a foreigner. And I was very afraid of the safety of my husband and all my friends. I hear the bomb surround me in my house. And then my body was shaking terribly because of fear. And then suddenly I hear a voice that say, go to the middle of the house and hide in the small bathroom. So I sit there and hide. And then, but first, grab your Bible. And I heard the voice, and then he showed me open Psalm 117, a prayer of protection. And then I opened Psalm 117, and then I read it with my hand shaking and my body trembling. Psalm 117. Lord, hear a just cause. Pay attention to my cry. Listen to my prayer from lips free of deceit. Let my vindication come from you. You see what is right. You have tested my heart. You have visited by night. You have tried me and found nothing evil. I have determined that my mouth will not sin concerning what people do by the word of your lips. I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps are on your path. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, God, because you will answer me. Listen closely to me. Hear what I say. Display the wonder of your faithful love, Savior of all who seek refuge from those who rebel against your right hand. Guard me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who threaten me violently. My deadly enemies who surround me, they have become hardened, their mouths speak arrogantly. They advance against me. Now they surround me. They are determined to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion eager to tear, like a young lion lurking in ambush. Rise up, Lord. Confront him. Bring him down with your sword. Save me from the wicked. With your hand, Lord, save me from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their beliefs with what you have in store. Their sons are satisfied, and they leave their surplus to their children. But I will seek your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your presence. And then after I read the psalm, my heart was at peace, and then I'm waiting in the small bathroom in the middle of the house. And then I heard police and everything, and then suddenly everything is calm. And I hear my husband call me from the phone that he is okay. So this Psalm 17 bring me remembrance that the Lord will protect us. And I will grateful always for the rest of my life that he will deliver me from the hand of the enemies.
You know, one of the great hymns that I've always loved is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And Bonnie and I got a good dose of that this week. our son Jeff in Fairbanks and his wife Tiffany have two boys. Both of them are autistic, on the autism scale at different levels. And that presents a lot of challenges to parents. I don't know if you've ever been around autistic kids, but they are very challenging. It tests the strength of your marriage, and it tests your faith, and because, boy, you're just wondering all the time what's going to happen next, because there's been instances when he's been in a grocery store with one of the boys, and for one reason, they'll just all of a sudden go into a fit of rage, and there's not much you can do about it. I know people around autistic kids that have not been around them a lot will say, well, why don't you just discipline that kid? And it does not work like it does for regular kids. It just doesn't work. They just spiral and spiral and spiral, and it gets worse and worse. And so Jeff and Tiffany have both had to learn over the years how to deal with that. And they have been very good at dealing with that. So, of course, Bonnie and I and the whole family has been praying for these boys. And you wonder, God, are you ever going to answer this? What are these boys going to ever be able to lead a normal life? And so over the years, different things have happened. And the boys are both very bright in certain areas. One of the 10-year-old boy can outdo anybody in this room on geography. There is nothing you can do to stump that kid. I mean, you can roll a globe around and point to a country, Uzbekistan, and he'll tell you the country and the capital. And he never misses. It's just incredible. So there's certain things that go on in their brain that just defy imagination. They're so smart in certain areas. And in other areas, like social skills, they're very, very poor. Well, anyway, over the years, each of the boys has had a lot of challenges, and they've made a lot of progress. And the oldest boy, Christian, has been more successful in a regular classroom. He started in a regular classroom in fourth grade, I believe it was, and has worked in a regular classroom with an aide over the years, and this year he's going to be 13 at the end of this month, and he's 6 feet tall. He's a great big boy. And he went into junior high this year, and having taught in junior high for a lot of years, I know there can be some real challenges, and so we were really concerned and doing some really heartfelt prayer that he would have a very successful year this year. And he's done really well. He's been in the regular classroom. There's a person in there to help if he needs, but they've done it in a real great way that the rest of the kids don't even know this person's in there to help him if he needs help. And anyway, Christian's done really well this year, but this week, Bonnie and I got a picture on our phone that Jeff sent us, and it was a certificate. And it says, Randy Smith Middle School in Fairbanks. This is to certify that Christian Charmbroy, this autistic boy, and this is in a regular classroom, is on the honor roll with almost a 4-point grade average. And so it just is a testimony to us. I mean, this has been a long, long road, and it's not anywhere near over, but Christian is just making progress, and it was a real blessing to them, and it's little victories like that that just are a testimony to God's faithfulness.
I just want to make sure to give everyone an opportunity. Is there anyone else who'd like to share anything at all? Anything about the goodness and greatness of God in your life? Do I hear running feet?
All right, well, as we get ready to close here and we move into our offering, I'd like to share something just really quick, what God has done in my life. I don't know if I can without keeping it together. The Word of God says that we have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. How is this possible? You know, how is it possible for a you know, a zebra to get new stripes? Can we learn things? Can we do things different? Or do we just go through life and modify our behavior, become better fathers because we read books, you know, become better husbands, better people, better friends because we have so much more knowledge available to us? Well, I've pondered this thought. How can you be born again? And I can't tell you how, but I can tell you it's happened to me. I never knew I was dead until I received new life in Christ. Not because it was an academic exercise into my head, but because I sat at the foot of the cross and God met me there. And all the things that I learned all these years as I get more gray hair, the busyness of life, the running here, running there, putting on this program, that program, began to see that that's not what God wants of us. And then two, many years trying to learn new things, study more Bible, become a gooder person. That isn't what God wants from us. And I didn't know that all He wants is for us to enjoy relationship with Him. And that's it. Not work, 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 slave harder, beat ourselves up and become better, but to simply allow the love of Christ to percolate into the very fiber of your being. And He changes you every single second. I did not know I was enslaved to sin until I was set free. Thought patterns, anger, judgmental thoughts, all these things, I thought, well, you can just work harder and be a better person, right? But we can't. No matter how much we try, we could never get there. We'll always miss the mark. And my proclamation today is, I just want to thank Jesus Christ who took me, of all people, created a new heart. A new heart where all the old stuff can get easily pushed aside and nothing but the love of God comes forth, especially to my wife, my daughter, my family. Is it possible to be born again? Yes. I can stand here and tell you that the old wineskins that we wear as we go through life, that we don't have to constantly try to clean it and wash it, but that we can actually get rid of it and become a new wineskin, as the Word of God says, and God fills it with newness. I never knew I was dead until I experienced life in Christ. I never knew I was enslaved to sin until I experienced being set free. I never knew any of that was possible. That all we have to do is go to church, read, study, and be good. And that is so far from the mark. I thank God and I proclaim to Him this day, my Shema. He is Lord and God. And in Him, we as a body can truly become one. There is one God, one head, and we are His body, one body. I'm going down to see my daughter this week. They're getting ready to go to China, and the visa's in the mail. So their organization has told them, get ready to go. And at first we weren't going to go down because the cost of everything. And my daughter called up and she wants both mom and I to come. Mom can't come. And I says, well, Jess, it wouldn't be the same if mom's not there, right? We need to be together. And she says, yes, I want mom to come too, but I need my dad. I need you, dad. Isn't that how we're to be with God? I need you. That's all. No explanation, not for anything. I just need you. And God the Father is sitting and saying, here I am. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to change. There's nothing you have to fix to make me love you any more than I do right now. That's the beginning of being born again. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we close, many different thoughts and prayers have been shared, testimonies. I know that there's so much more.
Lord, we could never come and exhaust the height, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love you have for us. It's incomprehensible in this lifetime on earth within this human capability to understand in our minds. The only thing, Lord, is that you can enlighten our spirit and soul, that we can only come to this knowledge as you set us free and that we become born again too. Lord God, most merciful Redeemer and Father, teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord God, that we may come to know you more clearly, to love you more dearly, to grow closer to you every single day, that we would be Shema from morning till night. Instill in us the desire to pray even when we are afraid to face you, even when we don't feel like it, even when we hate ourselves or ashamed of ourselves. Make us want you, not just to want you when we think about you, but to want you all the time and to dwell and to think, to drink deeply of your love all the time. Strengthen us with the grace of your Holy Spirit. Grant us peace to our souls, that we may be free from all the needless anxiety and worry that surrounds us on a daily basis here on this terrestrial planet. Help us, Lord God, and that we may be constant and true, putting our trust in you. And use us to usher in your kingdom, be a light to the world around, to be bearers of the good news to the hurting and dying world around us. Lord, to you, we remember, lest we never forget, that you saved each one of us. Your blood, Lord, allows us to approach the throne. We love you, Lord God, with all our might, all our strength, from the very fiber of our being. May we go forth today as new creatures. In Jesus' name, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.